I believe that the book of, study of the book of Proverbs has been tremendous edification if you've been following and studying this. And there are some areas that cause us to cringe because the Word of God was and is hitting a little too close to home. Without a doubt, we know that we should change our lifestyle and whatever we've been doing in order to be obedient to our Lord. This morning is no exception. It might be a little more, as a matter of fact, it might be more uncomfortable than to some of you than any other topic. There are a lot of different opinions about regarding whether Christians should drink alcohol or not. Some people say flat out no. Some people say, oh yeah, you know, one or two brewski won't hurt. I would not like to put my opinion into that mix. But however, I'd rather hear from the Word of God itself. Because after all, the Word of God, as we just remind ourselves, is the final authority, has the absolute truth. And most of all, it is the voice of God. It's the written Word of God. And we cannot say, well, there's a loophole. Really, find me one. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as many people, including unbelievers, declares that you are a God of love and compassion and mercy. We don't doubt that. We do not reject that. But we often forget that you are God of holiness and righteousness who would not wink at our sins. But in your mercy, you provide the way to be forgiven through your Son, Jesus Christ, for those who repent their sins and turn from their sins. Lord, show us the way of righteousness and holiness from your word this morning. We are not concerned about anyone's opinion, but we are concerned about what you said. Let our heart be changed. Let our lives be changed so you alone receive honor and praise. We pray for the President Obama, that he may truly come to know Jesus. Not as a lip service, but his heart is truly turned to you. That he may do what pleases you. And we pray for our troops who are in harm's way, especially in Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen, or wherever they are. We ask you to protect them. You're willing bring them back to their families, their homes, safe and sound. We also pray for the sheriff deputies, the border patrol agents, and police officers around this community, and the firefighters as well. As they protect our lives and our properties, and we ask you to protect them from any harm. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So what does the Bible say about drinking alcohol? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, please. Don't just sit there without turning the Bible. Chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Maybe it doesn't like it, huh? Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Okay, turn to the chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 29. Who has war? Who has a sorrow? Who has a contentions? Who has complained? Who has a wound without causes? Who has a redness of the eyes? Those who linger long at wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it's red or when it sparkles in the cup. And when it swirls around smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Oh, really? And your heart will be utter perverse thing. And yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt, and they have beaten me, yet I did not feel. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" True alcoholic's word. Chapter 28 of Isaiah, please. A few books to the right, Isaiah 28, verse 7. "But they also have erred through wine, through intoxicating drink, out of the way. The priests and prophets have erred through the intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They were out of the way through the intoxicating drink. They erred in vision. They stumbled in judgment. For that all tables are full of vomit and filth. There no place is clean." Vivid description. Somewhere in the Old Testament, you will find some of the priests get drunk with the wine and from the drink offering wine. And some people will say, "Well, isn't that obviously that's a fermented drink? So if the priest can drink, we can drink, right?" No. That God's regulation is very clear. We'll talk more about that. But they choose to go against God's regulation. At this point, some of you want to tell me that, well, all the verses, that the three portions of the verses you chose are from Old Testament. Hello, we are living in the day of grace. You know what, if I get to have a dollar for the comments like that every time somebody say that for the last 23 years, I would be a millionaire. So since you are thinking that, why don't we look at in the New Testament? Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21, and you guys thinking, hey, we have a liberty in Christ. You are absolutely correct. We're going to go over that as well. Chapter 21, verse 34. "But take heed yourself, lest your heart weigh down." Is this Jesus speaking, correct? In red letter. "With the carousing, drunkenness, and care of this life, at that day comes on you unexpectedly." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, please. Turn to right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 10. "No thieves, no covetous, no drunkard, no revilers, no extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." That means about 95% of the people in Congress and all that place won't be there. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." Galatians chapter 5, please. 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. "And the work of flesh is evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, and drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." By now, you get the strong feeling that Bible is against drinking alcohol, do you? Yeah. I agree. You got that right. So, some of you still have that feeling. Isn't there somewhere in the Bible that it's okay to drink? And then you're thinking, oh yeah, and then you come up with a couple of portions from the Bible. What about that miracle, the first miracle Jesus did in Canaan wedding, you know, Canaan wedding? And he did. That was a little too fast, buddy. you should separate that thing. Anyway, now I lost the track. That's what happens when the people get old and with the sidetrack. Yes. Thank you. Jesus turning water into wine. What about the miracle? How about another thing that Apostle Paul mentioned to Timothy, his protege? Drink some wine for your stomach's sake. Yeah, what do you think about that, you dumb preacher? I have an answer for that too. Well, I'm glad you think about that kind of thing because obviously the Word of God is in your heart. However, let me explain to you about the biblical wine. Biblical wine was fermented and diluted 3:1. Even the Jewish Talmud, which is a collection of the ancient rabbinic writing consisting of the Mishnah and Gemara, constituting the basis of the religious authority in Orthodox Judaism. It states that the Passover wine, 3 parts water, 1 part wine. In other words, it was pretty much grape juice they drank as a daily use. A person to get drunk with this kind of Jewish wine, they have to drink 22 cups of wine. I would get sick of it before I get drunk. Don't you think? Since you are thinking about Apostle Paul's advice to Timothy, why don't we go over there? First Timothy chapter 5. I know some of you are still not convinced. Let me go over a few things, and by the time I finish it, you will have an answer from the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmity." Some of you guys know this, but it is a well-known fact, and still it is. The water in Israel, water in Ephesus, where the Timothy was pastoring, that Ephesus was an ancient Greek city, but it is located in modern-day Turkey. The water there was bitter. It was not good for the stomach, and because it caused a stomach problem. And they cannot just go in to the spring, or they cannot go to the fountain and drink water out of there. So if that's the case, the aging apostle told his spiritual son Timothy, add some grape paste into the water so that he can make this into the kind of purified water and the sweetened water. Then I have a question for those who are thinking this as the base for you to drink alcohol. Would you reconsider it? Because nowadays, you can turn the kitchen faucet on and there is no bitter water coming out. You can pretty much drink water, even though it doesn't taste so good, but you can drink water, you're not going to have a stomach ache. And if you choose to, you can go to any grocery store, buy the cases of drinking water. It's last time when I checked from the Walmart was at 27 cents per gallon. 27 cents per gallon. You really don't have an excuse, or you cannot base your excuse on this 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. You agree? And you're thinking, I still have one portion. Jesus' first miracle. Well, let's go there. Chapter 2 of the book of John. I should have been a lawyer. I wouldn't be ACLU lawyer, though. Chapter 2, verse 9. When a master of the feast has a taste of water that was made wine, and it did not know where it came from, but the servant had drawn water new, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning set out the good wine," note the good wine, please. "And when the guests were well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Now, let's go back to Jewish custom. When they say that good wine, the best wine is not fermented wine. Let me explain. When they bring this grape from the vineyard, and they bring it to this place where they have a big, what would you call it, wine press? Yeah, wine press. This, everybody start to dump the grape. And on the bottom, it's like a faucet. By sheer weight of the grape itself, it's crushing down the bottom one, and it starts to squeeze the juice out. You with me on that? And the first portion of the liquid starts coming out, they call that what? Good wine. They call that best wine. It did not even have a chance to ferment it. In other words, it's like a fresh squeezed orange juice. It would be fresh squeezed grape juice. That is the idea of a great wine. So now, so far, your idea of the base for the drinking alcohol went down the drain. Some of you still say, no, I'm not convinced. Okay, for those who are not still convinced, I have 20 more reasons why you should not drink wine. Let's go over a few things. Number one, it slows the thinking process, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 and 5. Number two, it makes one dizzy, Job 12:25. You have that on the list in your sermon note. It is associated with self-centeredness, Habakkuk 2:5. Cause sickness, Jeremiah 25:27. Cause forgetfulness, Proverbs 31:6-7. And some of you are thinking, what's your excuse, Pastor? You always forget things. Well, I live in close to Green Valley, so what do you expect? Sixth reason produces delirious dreams, Proverbs 23:33. It results in sleepiness, in Genesis 9:20-25. It produces complacence and laziness, is Zephaniah 1:12. Numb one's feeling, Proverbs 23:31-35. It leads to poverty, Proverbs 21:17. Leads to brokenness, Jeremiah 23:9. Result in sadness and depression, Isaiah 19:9-10. Cause sorrow, Proverbs 23:29-30. Produce blackout, Genesis 19:33-35. Lead to immorality, Joel 3:3. Encourage sexual perversion, Habakkuk 2:15. Result in guilt, Isaiah 24:20. Cause injury, Proverbs 23:35. Result in insanity. It can result in insanity, Jeremiah 51:7. Make one vulnerable to his enemy, 1 Samuel 13:28. If you like, I can give you more. Huh? You need more? This time, I'm going to mention that drinking alcohol does not what it does to the individual as well as a society. Drinking alcohol causes. Listen, please. Listen. Pay attention here. Drinking alcohol causes more deaths than any other drug. I'm talking about illegal drugs. 200,000 per year. You went a little too fast again. It is responsible for 70% of the drowning and choking, and 30% of all suicides are alcohol-related. 20% of all airplane crashes are alcohol-related. Any of you guys going to fly in the next few days? Make sure you do the breathalyzer test to your pilot, okay? 50% of all murderers are drunk when they committed crime. 50% of all fire deaths are alcohol-related, and it caused about one-third of all traffic accident deaths. It involves both spouse and child abuse, mental and physical disease. 45% of homeless are alcoholics. I know that for a fact. And you're thinking, you were homeless and alcoholic? No. My family was involved in the homeless ministry in downtown Tucson for a couple of years. And majority of them are alcoholic. There are 16 million alcoholic addicts in the United States. 77% of high school students have tried alcohol. 29% of high school students drink heavily regularly, and when they go to the college, it just gets worse. It's not mentioned in here, majority of the campus rape happens when the girls had a few drinks. 44% of eighth grader get drunk. 1 in 10 social drinker will become an alcoholic. 1 in 10. Now I have another question for all of you. Would you consider getting into airplane when you know that there's a 10% chance that your plane will crash? Any of you will get into the plane? Have you ever heard of Russian roulette? Russian roulette, you put the one round a bullet into this revolver and you spin it and stick it in this your own head and pull the trigger. The odd is 16.6%. Yes, it's better. The 10% chance of plane crash is much better than the Russian roulette, but it's like a plane. Drinking alcohol is the same thing as playing with the Russian roulette. And you may say, well, I don't drink heavily. It all takes one, it starts with one first drink. Do you agree? It starts with a first drink. If you don't have that first drink, you will never have a DUI. You'll never have a crashing your car to the pole. You'll never walk into the wall and you wonder why the wall jumped on you. I used to do that. How do I know? Because I did that. When I was in college, I used to get drunk just for fun of it. I waste money. Next day, I have a headache and holding the toilet bowl and saying, "Oh God!" That was funny. That was really nice, right? No, it's stupidity. What good about that? Let me talk about the health issue. It causes a liver problem, heart attack, increases the chance of the cancer 3 to 6 times. It's number three cause of a birth defect. Any of you young people, you're planning to have a children, do not drink. It doesn't matter. It's not just mom, it's dad too. Total cost of alcohol abuse, which comes from the medical services, the loss of future income by death and fires and crimes, over $184 billion. Tax revenue from the alcohol is only $18 billion. The stat I just gave you is from the 2005 U.S. government. Folks, listen up. Our children are imitators of us. If you drink, they will learn to drink as well before they grow up or when they grow up. Most likely, way before. Would you consider having your children become another alcoholic? Let me say this to you. If you consider yourself spiritually mature, and if you are involved in the ministries in any form or fashion, and you want to be involved in the leader ministry, you should not drink. You should not drink. Let me show you from the Bible. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Verse 21. Apostle Paul speaking with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "It is good neither to eat meat or drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumble or is offended is made weak." I'm not saying don't eat meat. I'm not saying don't drink. I'm not saying don't do anything. But if that, your liberty cause other people, other Christians to stumble, you should not do it. One more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. Verse 10. For if anyone see you who have a knowledge eating an idol in an idol temple, and will not the conscience of him who is weak and emboldened to eat those things offered to idols. Verse 11. And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, and for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against brethren and wound their weak conscience, and you sin against who? Against who? Christ. Verse 13. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I'll never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Hear me, please. Hear me this. You might be able to handle yourself fine with a couple glasses of wine, a couple of bottles of beer, but your brother or sister who was a former alcoholic, once you're alcoholic forever, you have to control yourself, they may not be able to handle that. You can stop with one bottle of beer or one glass of wine, but they cannot stop at one. One bottle becomes one keg. Do you want to be responsible for him stumbling? I think not. That would be denying yourself, carrying your cross, because you are the follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, denying taste of the wine, the taste of beer, I'll be glad to give it up for my brothers and sisters. To me, that's not important. Let me ask you this. What would the unbelievers around you think the Christians should do? The stereotype of unbelievers thought for a Christian is no cussing, no smoking, no chewing, no lying, no drinking. Actually, they are correct thinking that. We should do all of that. We should not lie, we should not chew, we should not smoke, we should not drink. Because we are the believers of Jesus Christ, because we are the ambassador of the true King. You may say, well, there's no place in the Bible that talks about smoking. Let me ask you this. If you know, I hand you the pill, pharmaceutical pill, this will cause you cancer. Would you take it? It is known fact that cigarettes will cause a cancer. That body you have is given by God. It's not your body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you need to take care of it. Not to the point of becoming obsessed with your body, but it is not necessary for you to continue to destroy your body. There's a limit you can take care of, how much you can take care of, how much you can discard it. That would be wrong. That's biblically incorrect. You know the answer. Again, I have one more question. If you're drinking beer or drinking wine and smoking a cigarette or doing whatever, would you consider doing that if Jesus is sitting next to you? Would you do that if Jesus is sitting next to you? Why would you do it when the Holy Spirit is residing in you? And some of you are thinking, I don't like this church. In case you still have an objection, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Maybe I will come up with this kind of objection for you. Objection number one, it's legalistic to make us extra biblical rules like a total abstinence, which the Bible does not make. Here's an answer. It is not extra biblical since the Bible condemns a strong drink, as we've learned today. Average beer has a 4% alcohol content, and wine has 11.5%. Wine coolers has 4-7%, and average liquor has a 40% alcohol content. all of that is considered as a strong drink. When you consider this making the their wine 3-1. You with me? Do you know what's the average alcohol content for the biblical wine? Less than 1%. You do the math, you will come up with less than 1%. No wonder why they have to drink the 22 glasses of wine to get drunk. And it's not a legalistic thing. The legalistic, real concept of legalistic thing is you trying to tell me that their human effort can make salvation instead of God's grace. Objection number two. Well, what about the medical study which shows that regular use of the alcohol help prevent heart disease by the increasing good cholesterol? It sounds great, huh? Just drink alcohol, way to go, your heart is pumping and you're going to have a long life. It may be due to antioxidant present and not the alcohol. Besides, the American Heart Association does not recommend it. There are the non-alcoholic methods such as diet, exercise, non-addictive drugs that can be used. According to other medical study, grape juice would just fine. Same effect. I checked this with our registered nurse, Phyllis. You have any qualm, go see her. Folks, and does not justify means. And does not justify means. Just admit that you drink alcohol because you want. Just be man and woman enough to say, yeah, I drink it because I want to. But you know the Bible tells otherwise. How about objection number three? Drinking beer or wine makes me relax, feel better. It's good for my nerve. Don't make your happiness depends on the addictive alcohol. It's both deceptive and dangerous. And there are non-addictive diet and drugs and exercise that can help you in your nerve. Come out, shoot with me. That will calm your nerves down. Real quickly. Better yet, take these two portions of the Bible scriptures and call me in the morning. You get it? You didn't get it. That was a perfectly good original joke. You guys are so slow. It was so original. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. If you're looking for, you know, cool effect and calming your nerves and all that stuff, here's a perfect prescription from doctor, the greatest physician in the universe. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Again, the one verse we memorized this morning at the beginning of the study, Ephesians 5:18. Turn to the left, 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. That's what the wine does, dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Listen up. You can come up with just about any excuse about drinking alcohol as a Christian. I think I'd rather present an airtight case why you should not. Anyone have a doubt about what I present? Anyone have more objection? Raise your hand. Of course you are not going to raise your hand. As I said before, if you don't take that first drink, you will never have to worry about what's going to happen with it because of alcohol. If you don't take that first puff of smoke or put that thing doing that kind of thing, then you don't ever have to worry about cancer in your lung or lips. Think, people. You are the ambassador of Jesus Christ. You need to represent your God, your Master, your Lord in such a way that He alone receives glory. I have four applications. Number one, total abstinence from any type of drinking alcohol is biblically correct. There is a sober answer. Just say no. Simple. No. No thanks. Second application, total abstinence from any tobacco product is also biblically correct. Number three, if you must be addicted to something, try Jesus. As a matter of fact, I highly recommend to be addicted to Jesus. Be a Jesus freak. That's a totally cool thing. Number four, some of you might be a secret alcoholic. There is a vicious power and temptation in secrecy. You need to make yourself accountable to another trusting brother or sister to stay sober. If you have a problem with that, ask them to call you each day, see if you are sober. You can do it one day at a time. And you may say, well, temptation is too strong. Are you guys closing the Bible? You better not. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Don't you dare close the Bible until I've finished. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. God is faithful and who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Did you note that? He will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able to handle it. And with the temptation, He will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So you cannot say, the temptation was too strong. Yeah, I heard that before. I used that before. It doesn't work in God's sight. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word. I lift up those whose heart was pierced with Your word. You give them strength and courage and commitment and obedient heart to do what is right in Your sight. Encourage my brothers and sisters as they head back home, as they head back to their workplaces. Let them be Your ambassador and Your representative, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.